It's time to travel to the next room with Jane Asher, an exploration of the bigger picture surrounding life on Earth and what follows. Now, here's your host, Jane Asher, on Empower Radio.
Welcome back to the next room. It is always a good day when I can step out into my little studio, light a candle, and kind of just get in a good mood, just sort of get this little thing rolling where I know that I'm going to have a conversation with someone and it's going to take us to a different place. I was so fortunate. I was just kind of going through Facebook. I think it was kind of a rainy day or something, which we've had some rain in Southern California, which is a beautiful thing. And I stumbled on my friend Nancy's post, and she said, it's a great day to curl up with this new book that I've been reading. I can't wait to finish it. And it's called Widowish. So of course I'm intrigued. Me, the death and dying wonder girl. I'm like, Widowish. Okay. I got to look into this. So I started researching it. Sure enough, it's this brand new book called Widowish. And Nancy happened to be friends with the author, who is Melissa Gould. And so Melissa, I kind of like tracked her down through Facebook and stalked her a little bit. And I'm like, you have to come on the show. And she was super gracious enough to send me a copy so I could read it, a nice little PDF copy so I could, you know, get up on it. So I start reading it. I can't put it down. It's that good. This is Melissa Gould. She's on. She's going to talk to us about Widowish. It is a fabulous book. You can go to widowish.com. You can go get it at Amazon. It's available everywhere. It's candid. It's personal. It's honest. And it's her journey about being a very, very young widow. So welcome to the show, Melissa. It's good to have you on.
Thank you so much, Jane. I love that introduction. I'm so happy to be here.
Well, good. Well, you're very welcome. I'm happy you're here. Melissa, it was like when you are exposed to a great piece of writing, it becomes like a friend. And you just don't want that friend to leave. In essence, you don't want the book to be over. And so I'm like, I would just encourage you to keep writing so that I can continue to read what you have, because it's just incredible. Really, really well done.
Thank you so much. That is the greatest compliment, and I so appreciate that. And I think that that is maybe the gift of memoir, is that people really feel like they know you. And
right.
They feel like they know me. And, and it's because I shared something so intensely personal in my story in Widowish. And I am just so grateful and flattered to hear the response, which is similar to yours, which is people think they know me, they want to be my friend. And I just love that.
Yeah. Well, let's talk about this a little bit. We've got a good half hour. So you were widowed at a very young age. Your husband, Joel, he already had a condition. He had a pre-existing condition, and he wasn't feeling well because of MS.
Correct.
What exactly, like, from the time that he went to the hospital to when he passed away, how long was that?
So he went into the hospital with flu-like symptoms. The day after we admitted him, he fell into a coma. Man. And 3 weeks later, he died. Mm. And it was very unexpected. At times, those 3 weeks seem like 3 years, and alternately, it seems like 3 seconds.
Yeah.
But it was, needless to say, it was devastating and very surreal and shocking, all of it.
So this is in 2013, right?
Yes.
And you have a daughter, and she was very young at the time.
Yeah, we have one daughter she was 13 when her father, my husband, Joel, died. And, that's a very tender age, and a lot happens in your early teen years in a short period of time. And Sophie really became my focus. She's really what kept me on track. Certainly in those early days and months of losing my husband, if I didn't have her to focus on, I really don't know how I would have managed.
Yeah. Well, that grief is just, I mean, grief, it is indescribable. You don't get over someone. It just becomes kind of part of your day to day. You know, you just learn how to manage it more than anything.
Absolutely. And I do think that as universal an experience that grief is, it really is different for everybody, you know, and it's unpredictable and it's scary. And I sometimes look back and I don't know how I was able to do anything. You know, I don't know how I was able to get dressed and leave the house. I don't know how I was able to have food in the house. And I don't know how I was able to take care of my daughter and take care of our dogs. And it was just a very strange time. And in some ways it continues to be. I mean, you know, here I have this book that's out in the world, and I've always been a professional writer and I've always made my living as a writer, but I've never had a book out. And the fact that I do, and that it's about losing my husband and being a widow, is really like, that's also part of this strange journey of grief. But writing for me was very healing and very cathartic. And I'm grateful that I had that.
Yeah.
To really kind of steer me out of those deep waters of grief.
Yeah. Well, good. Well, we're very glad that you were able to share that with us through your words. I'll tell you what, the book is Widowish, and widowish.com if you want to go and check her out and read some of her other essays. They're brilliant and really short.
Thank you.
Super easy to read, but I went down the rabbit hole and started trying to grab everything I could with Melissa Gould and read everything that she's written. So really an amazing author and writer. So why widowish, Melissa? Tell me where that term came from.
So Jane, it's interesting because I was a young widow when my husband died, and Joel was young. Joel had just turned 50 and was otherwise healthy. But you know, we were a young, vibrant couple and family. And I felt like when Joel died, I kind of became the town widow.
Mm.
But I didn't look like a widow, which I think, you know, most people, I mean, it's changed a little bit. I hate to say because of COVID, and we have lost so many people, so many of them young. And there are so many more people like me in the world these days, sadly, than there was 7 years ago. But, you know, I did not look like a widow. I looked like a very, you know, stereotypical LA mom, going to yoga, picking up my kid from school, going to Trader Joe's. And nobody knew my story when they looked at me. Mm-hmm. And so I didn't look like a widow, and I didn't really act like a widow. You know, within a year of losing my husband, I met somebody new and have been in a relationship with this person for the past 6 years. But that didn't take away the pain I was feeling and the grief I was feeling over losing my husband.
Right.
And I think for that reason, people didn't think I was acting like a widow. I wasn't sad enough. What was I, was I doing? Dating? But I felt like a widow.
Mm-hmm.
I still feel like a widow. Joel's been gone 7 years. I'm still a widow.
Right.
Still feel those feelings. And that's really how I came up with widowish, because it was this sort of reconciling of how I looked on the outside and how I felt on the inside. And that was just the best way for me to describe it.
Yeah. Good. I love that. Thank you for sharing that. Did you feel like you got some flack or some judgment from other people when you started dating within a year of Joel passing?
I definitely did. But at the same time, for as many people who I felt judged by, there were just as many people who were supported
good
and loving.
Good.
But again, I think it plays into this idea of what a widow should be.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think there's a hard and fast rule for that.
No.
Again, it's a different time in life. I mean, I write this in the book, but eventually, you know, I started a widow's group for young widows and widowers. And we all had a very similar experience, which is nobody in our age group had been through this before. So none of my friends lost a spouse. We were all in our 40s. Everybody was healthy. And nobody really knew what to do.
Mm.
And even my parents and other young widows I've met over the years, their parents, the only people they knew who had experienced a loss of a spouse were much older, in their 70s and their 80s, where it's just as sad and it can be just as tragic a story, but it's not as unexpected or
right.
as surprising
right.
when you hear of people who are much older, live these long, full lives and die. That's the trajectory of life, right?
Right.
But when it happens in midlife, and when you have a young child like I did, it's like the rug is really pulled from underneath you, and there are not a lot of guideposts helping you out of the woods of what that feels like.
Well, you know, and this is very important because here you are, you have lived through this enormous tragedy, and you are now a guidepost. You are now helping other young widows who are now widowish to kind of maybe be able to figure things out or get through it. So I don't know. It's very, very interesting. Tell me about the sweatshirt, because I love this story, but I want you to tell our listeners.
Jane, I'm wearing it right now.
Yay. Mazel.
Mazel. Okay, so I'm a big fan of Bravo TV. I was a fan before Joel died. I became a much bigger fan after the fact, simply because their programming is so mindless. And I really suffered from what I call widow fog in those, you know,
sure.
early days of grief. And I couldn't even read People magazine. That was too much for me. But I could watch an episode of The Real Housewives and feel like, okay, I had a little bit of a break from my grief and my sadness. So as a fan of Bravo TV, I wanted a sweatshirt. And I don't know if they still have it, but there was like Bravo TV shop. You could go online and order merchandise from Bravo TV. And one of the things I wanted was a sweatshirt that has the word mazel on it, which is like a Yiddish word meaning good luck, and there's a little bit of spirituality to it also. But it's a mazel sweatshirt, and mazel was something that Andy Cohen, who hosts Watch What Happens Live, which is a show on Bravo TV,
right.
It's like he used to have these segments called his mazel of the day. And anyway, there were these mazel sweatshirts, and I said to Joel, the timing is a little interesting, but I said to Joel, honey, I know what I want for my birthday. I want a mazel sweatshirt. And he was like, okay, send me the information. And so I slipped him a note under his door to our home office. And I was like, this is the info, the website where you can get my sweatshirt. And that was the last discussion we had of it. About a week later, Joel went into the hospital, fell into a coma. Like I said, he was in a coma for 3 weeks. The third week, I come home from the hospital. There's a package at the front door.
Mm.
And I pick it up, and I saw the Bravo TV logo. And I realized, oh, my God, he ordered me the sweatshirt.
Mm. Man.
And that's what it was. And so it was the last birthday gift I ever got from him. And I believe he knows I got it.
Heck yeah.
But yeah, he knows.
And that's awesome.
I just couldn't believe it. And you know what's so strange about it? So that was 7 years ago. And every time I wear the sweatshirt, it still looks brand new. And I feel like Joel has a hand in that now, because I wear it all. It's big and it's snuggly. And we're having, like you said, we're having some rainy days here in Southern California.
Yeah.
Today is one of them. And so it's just a nice, snuggly, like, I was doing some press earlier today and I was dressed. I was like, you know, I just want to get comfortable. I'll be talking to Jane on the phone. She's not going to see me. I'm going to wear my Mazel sweatshirt. And I love it. And it still feels like Joel to me, and it still feels like love. And I wrote an essay about it that was published in the New York Times. And it's funny because in the essay, I mention Andy Cohen from Bravo TV, and Andy read the essay and then decided to read it and share it with his listeners on his Sirius XM show. And that was thrilling. And it's incredible. And I do feel like, I know this show is called The Next Room, and I do feel like Joel is in the next room and he's managing a lot of this for me.
Yeah. Beautiful. Well, hi, Joel. Welcome to the show. I absolutely love that story. I mean, it's true, and it's goosebumps, and here's this. Oh, think about the depth of love and care. Here's this man not feeling well, not knowing why he's not feeling well, probably attributing it to his MS.
Right.
A week before he goes in the hospital, he makes sure to order your birthday present. He's in a coma. You come home and it's waiting for you. There's something so divine that is taking place in that moment. And tell us why Mazel, and that it does have another definition, correct? It's not just celebratory.
It does.
Okay.
It does. And the thing is, like, you know, with Joel, like, that's so, the story really epitomizes who he was as a person. He always put me first. He always put her daughter first. I mean, that's just the kind of guy that he was. He was completely selfless, always stoic, and it just speaks to his goodness. And so the other meaning of Mazel is that it has to do with Jewish mysticism, and that it's something to do with, we all have rays of soul in our bodies.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a part of our soul, I guess you could say, that rises above and shines down on us. I don't know that I'm explaining it great, but it's basically something to do with Jewish mysticism and this ray of our soul that is, it's almost like an aura, I might interpret it as like an aura we all have, that it's also considered a mazel.
I love it. So,
but in the more traditional sense, mazel means good luck. You've never been to a Jewish wedding or about and people say mazel tov. It's like a celebration.
Sure. I love it. Joel is your mazel.
Yes.
That's awesome. Thank you for sharing that. That was one of your essays. And you can find these on her website at widowish.com. And I'm telling you, I would get my fingers working today, whether you're an Amazon person or you want to order it through her website, and do yourself a favor, because you will not be able to put it down. And although it's dealing with a very sad ending, it's also very uplifting. I don't know how to explain it any more lovingly than that, because it's so honest and it's so personal. But it is about love and renewal, because here you are, you found love a second time around. You found a second soulmate.
Yeah. It's crazy. I think that Joel had a hand in that too. and all of this is in the book, but, Joel, so my boyfriend was my daughter's guitar teacher. And because Joel was in the music industry, guitar lessons fell under his parental duties. So he was the one who would take Sophie to her lessons, and he knew Marcos, and, I didn't really know Marcos. I knew him as my daughter's guitar teacher, and that was that. But our paths crossed, maybe it was like 5 or 6 months after Joel had died. And I ran into Marcos one night, and like everybody at the time, he was asking, you know, me if there was anything I needed help with. He had heard about Joel. He was, you know, gave me his condolences and all of that. But I had just come across a bunch of Joel's music equipment in the garage that I forgot we even had. And I was so overwhelmed. I didn't know what to do with it. And Marco said he would come over and help me see, you know, assess what we had and help me get rid of it. And I thought maybe he would be able to use some for his students. And so began this sort of friendship between us that eventually evolved into us dating, and that eventually evolved into us having this relationship. But what I liked about Marcos at the very beginning was he didn't treat me like the town widow. Mm. You know, he didn't have that look in his eye that people were giving me, this sort of pitiful,
yeah, the pity
look. And he, because he knew Joel, he spoke about him very freely and very easily.
Mm.
When a lot of people couldn't, you know, people often don't know what to say to somebody who's grieving, and or they're afraid they're going to say the wrong thing, so they don't say anything. But Marco stood there talking to me. He brought Joel up several times in conversation, and I so appreciated that. I mean, talk about a ray of something. It was like a ray of light when I could stand there and talk to Joel. Mm-hmm. I mean, talk about Joel with somebody
right.
who knew him. So it was just refreshing. And Marcos is still in my life. And that was the other thing too, about being widowish and feeling widowish, is that I didn't want people to think that because of Marcos that I was done grieving, moving, you know, that's
right.
it, I'm done. Not at all. And that was the other thing I really appreciated, is Marcos knows like there's room for both he and Joel in our life. There, it has to be that way because
right.
Joel is still my husband. So that's how I feel.
Mm.
And Marcos gets that. I mean, he's pretty incredible too. So
that's amazing. Good for you. And thank you for articulating that. You know, just because Joel is no longer on this side does not mean that you're not forever connected with him at that level. Nor does it mean that you should, you know, you shouldn't sit in a corner and waste away. You're a young woman. So I think it's really beautiful. I've told you this would go fast. We only have a few minutes, but I really want to ask you one of my very favorite questions. And that is, Melissa Gould, fabulous author that you are, what for you is in the next room?
Well, Joel, Joel for sure is in the next room.
He just said, good answer, Melissa.
Well, I do feel that. I feel him with me. You know, I saw a psychic. I've seen several since he died. And it was always something I've done in my life. Not a huge degree of seriousness, but I like it, I believe. And I saw a psychic a few months after Joel died. And the minute I sat down, she started giggling and she was so effervescent. And she just said, you know, your husband's been here waiting for you. And I knew it had to be you because there's so much love. There's so much love. And he's holding your face right now. He's stroking your cheek. And I was sobbing. I mean, it was a few months after he had died, but I was still in those early days, weeks, months, years of grief. And I just felt it. And I believe. And that image that she gave me, which was Joel sitting right here, he's stroking your cheek, that I carry that with me.
Mm.
And sometimes I'll just put my own hand on my face and I'll be like, hon, I feel you. I'm here. We're together.
Wow.
So that is my answer, Jane. I think Joel is in the next room and I'm able to feel him still.
That's beautiful. Wow. Thank you so much for taking the time today. Melissa Gould is my, guest today. Please look her up on Instagram at Melissa Gould _author. You can go to widowish.com. That's where you can order the book, or you can, of course, find it through Amazon. And check out some of her other essays that she's written for the New York Times, the LA Times, BuzzFeed, you name it. This lady has been everywhere. I wish you nothing but happiness and success. And I'm very grateful that you would take the time, first of all, to take me serious, send me a copy of the book, and then agree to come on the show to talk about Widowish.
Oh, Jane, it's my pleasure. I'm so grateful that you were interested. So thank you.
Yeah, and we have to thank Nancy, too, because she was the ultimate connector there.
Yeah.
I'm always on the lookout for a good book. So widowish.com. Alyssa Gould is my guest today. Follow her on Instagram and check out this book at widowish.com. And thank you so much for coming on The Next Room.
Thank you so much, Jane.
It's time to travel to the next room with Jane Asher, an exploration of the bigger picture surrounding life on Earth and what follows. Now, here's your host, Jane Asher, on Empower Radio.